Anak.
We're reading from the article 600,000 Souls by Baal HaSulam. We're reminded you can ask questions in cub.tv. Selected questions relevant to the studied materials will be asked during the lesson. Article 600,000 Souls.
It is said that there are 600,000 souls and each soul divides into several sparks. We must understand how is it possible for the spiritual to be divided, since initially only one soul was created, the soul of Adam Arishon. In my opinion, there is indeed only one soul in the world, as it is written, and breath into his nostrils the breath of life. The same soul exists in all the children of Israel, complete in each and every one, as in Adam Arishon. Since the spiritual is indivisible and cannot be cut, which is rather a trait of corporal things. Yet, saying that there are 600,000 souls and sparks of souls appears as though it is divided by the force of the body of each person. In other words, first, the body divides and completely denies him of the radiance of the soul, and by the force of the Torah and the mitzvah, the body is cleansed. And to the extent of its cleansing, the common soul shines upon him. For this reason, two discernments were made in the corporeal body. In the first discernment, one feels one's soul as a unique organ, and does not understand that this is the whole of Israel, and this is truly a flaw. Hence, it causes along with the above mentioned. In the second discernment, the true light of the soul of Israel does not shine on him in all its illumination force, but only partially, by the measure he has purified himself by returning to the collective. The sign for the basis.
We can depict it, imagine it in two forms, mainly in two. This is all with respect to us, because this is how we are composed. One thing is that in order to gather all the broken parts, I need to make an effort, and the number of these broken parts is 600,000. Second, by gathering all these parts, accumulating them in intensity, not in pieces, as it seems to me. It doesn't matter how many pieces I imagine. The number doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Rather, how much we cling together, the degrees by which we cling together, these are called 600,000, because through our connection, by that force of the bonding, by that we rise from the degree of Zon to the degree of Arihanpin, which is considered 600,000 times greater. And there are other manners as well. It's all because we're unable to depict this state in a correct, true manner. So we... We need to imagine it, to depict it in several manners, different ways. But why does he even write about it? In order to give us in several different manners the same direction, which is that what I feel, that there are 600,000 souls, it's because I am broken. Otherwise I would have felt that everything is just a single structure, and that I feel the intensity of my life, all in all, is this life, and not the infinite life. It's because I don't reach the degree of 600,000 souls, meaning that I don't awaken Zon to reach the end of my correction, the degree of Arihanpin. And meaning, until I perform the calculation over 600,000, then on one hand I'm on the right path towards the correction, but on the other hand I haven't yet reached a state where there is only one soul in the state, in the intensity of 600,000, which is what we say 620 times greater than what is in it on behalf of the Creator. That the creature who feels himself as, instead of receiving on top of the reception, he bestows to the Creator, then the fulfillment in him, the intensity of the sensation and understanding, how much do I receive, who do I receive from, and how much love is there between us now, then awakens in him a kli that is 600,000 times greater than what it was before, with the intensity of the light in it, that is 620 times greater. Yes. Meaning, in order to truly come to the right discernment in the third state at the end of correction, we have to see our present state as divided into 600,000 pieces, parts, and is under 6,000 degrees, or years, you might say, and in an intensity of a tiny candle, instead of the complete Naran Chai, which is 620 times greater than the initial state. Yes?
The sign for the body's complete correction is when one feels that one soul exists in the whole of Israel, in each and every one of them, for which he does not feel himself as an individual, for one depends on the other. At that time he is complete, flawless, and the soul truly shines on him in its fullest power, as it appeared in Adam Rishon, as in he who breathed from within him. He who breathed from within him. This is the meaning of the three times of a person, a spark of a soul, the act by way of sparkling, as in prohibiting and permitting, a particular soul, one part out of 600,000, it is permanently completed, but its flow is with it. This means that its body cannot receive the whole of the soul and feels itself as being distinct, which causes him much pains of love. Subsequently, he approaches perfection, the common soul. Since the body has been cleansed and it is entirely dedicated to the Lord, to Havaya, and does not pose any measures and screens and is completely included in the whole of Israel. We learn that if even one man came before his master in complete repentance, the Messiah King would come at once. It seems to mean, as they said, Moshe is equal to 600,000. We need to understand it, since this would mean that there are twice 600,000 souls, the soul of Moshe and the soul of Israel. But the truth is that there is no more than one soul, as it is known by the measure of each and every soul that purifies and cleanses itself from its filth. Hence, when all the souls are corrected, they will draw onto them the entire higher soul of Atzilut, to each and every soul, since the spiritual is indivisible. At that time, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Hence, While even a single soul is denied of complete purity, the extension of Kedusha, holiness, will be deficient in every soul from Israel.
We can also have a discussion about it in a workshop. It could be a topic. Please remind me. On the one hand, the person imagines the world, describes the world before him as broken, divided. And it's clear to a person that he himself is broken and divided on the inside in such a way. Therefore, this is how he sees the world. It's written, correcting himself. If one corrects himself, then he decides himself and the whole world to the scale of merit. So, if I reach the end of my individual personal correction, then the whole world should also become corrected. What does it mean, corrected? That I, whatever I see out of myself, I see out of myself a broken world, because the flaws in me depict the world in such a way to me. If I correct myself, then I decide myself and the whole world to the scale of merit, that both myself and the world that I recognize, which is the same, it's my kelim, everything is in the corrected. What can I say with respect to others? Do others even exist, or don't they? And do they also reach the end of correction? Meaning, does the end of correction depend only on me, and the others only help me? And they too also, with respect to the others, or they don't even exist? And I should simply say that I'm here facing my broken kli that appears to me as the egoistical people who are standing here corresponding to me, and I only need to bring them to that connection to me. Meaning, where here do the individual and the collective come together? Maybe in truth, I'm here just looking at my kli, and in the world there's only a single soul, and the Creator, the light that is in it, and it needs to be disclosed, revealed. And always I imagine to myself, I depict to myself within this kli, the whole world, friends, people who are for me, against me, everybody who is as a broken kli within my soul. And even deeper, if I enter my soul, then there I discover this kli being in unity, completely connected among all of its parts, and the Creator is filling it up in the upper zivug. But this is all within the corrected kli. And when I get rid of all this imagination, fantasy, that there are many people here in this world, yet there is none else besides him, and this is how I need to unite all of them into a single soul. And until I put them together, all of them, then they appear to me as many independent parts, many souls. Yes. What?
Moshe from LA is asking, in the beginning of the article he describes that this soul is all over the world, and then he defines that it is in the people of Israel. Which part of the soul has the one who doesn't have a spark?
Well, those who don't have a spark don't have a soul. And also, if a person has a spark, it's still not a soul. A soul is considered the will to receive, working in order to bestow. This is called a soul. We call it neshama, a soul, because it's the degree of binah, bestowal. So we call the kli, the desire that can work in order to bestow, we call it neshama, a soul. That's it. Desires that are corrected in order to bestow, we call them neshamot, souls. Desires that can't yet be corrected in order to bestow are not called neshamot, souls. Our desires, which are our gufim, our bodies, this animal, is irrelevant to the soul. It's a degree that cannot be inverted. I can't do anything with myself, rather only with respect to those desires and thoughts, qualities in which I can arrange my relationship to the Creator, to resemble Him only. Yes.
Michal from Afula is asking, what does it mean that Baal HaSulam writes, in my opinion, is he not sure that there is one soul?
He's not sure about himself? Look, the truth is that a Kabbalist is never certain. Because who knows better than him how the new degrees are revealed that are, you know, with all the surprises that are in them, that each time a new degree is revealed, it's a new desire, a new sensation, a new land, new heavens, totally, just like that. Therefore, until the end of the collective correction, new states always appear in which there are really boundless surprises. Therefore, a Kabbalist always says, according to my opinion, that because there's something there and it's opposition. If he's on a high, he's on a high degree, and yet he feels it as being small in his opinion, his reason. Meaning he feels that before him there are many yet surrounding lights that he needs to attain. So that should be to his merit. We need a little bit of, babies can't appreciate the grown-ups. They just want to use them. That's clear. But certainly, well, we don't understand what it means, one who has attainment. We don't understand it. It's simply, you have nothing to compare with. You have nothing to weigh, to measure with. It's a person who is above the stars. You look at him and you imagine whatever you're capable of. Well, let's continue.
And when a single soul from Israel is purified from all its filth, it will draw unto itself the whole of the soul of Atzilut, and through it all the souls of its generation will be completed. This is the meaning of one being dependent on the other, as it is written, it was befitting that divinity would be upon him, but his generation was unworthy of it. The content of the words is unanimously bewildering, that the same soul that was rewarded with purification immediately strives to increase the grace of the generation and ask for them until it elevates its entire generation to its merit. This is the meaning of Moshe is equal to 600,000. Because he was their loyal shepherd, he had the same kdusha, holiness, that the whole generation had. Indeed, the whole is found within each item, since in the end all the souls will unite into one discernment, returning to their spiritual root. Hence, all the miracles and wonders and all the journeys they had traveled throughout the world during the 6,000 years should be experienced by each soul. The good soul draws to itself from all the discernments of Kedusha before it and after it, and the evil soul does to the contrary. And the changing times are considered generations. However, each generation behaves as its judge by the mind that the judge by the mind that judges it, since it receives from the Kedusha of that time. For this reason, each soul is willing to draw the souls of Moshe, Aharon, Shmuel, David, and Shlomo within it, as times that is experiences during the exit from Egypt and the reception of the Torah. The soul of Moshe appears on it. During the seven of the conquests, the souls of Yoshua, and during the building of the temple, the soul of King Shlomo, etc.
Well, these are things that are hard for us to understand. The names of the souls, their position on the ladder of degrees. What each one of them symbolizes, these are not human beings. We're speaking in the wisdom of Kabbalah, not about what seems to us in this world, in the bodies. Rather, we're speaking about parts of the will to receive, the way it ascends and corrects. And those are the names of these parts. So each and every one of these parts that is corrected, how much does he add to the general, the collective correction? It's hard to explain. The problem is in the split of providence into the individual and the collective. How do I see reality outside of me, inside of me, as broken only with respect to me, as divided, split only with respect to me, and soft, there is none else besides him, or... Well, the problem is it that for the correction and the scrutiny, we need to divide these things into actions, cause and effect, pieces, discernments. And if we're speaking about recognizing providence, then there we need, you know, if we're trying to understand the upper one from above downwards, then we need to resemble him by saying that everything is one. So certainly we still have some disorder and confusion about those things, and this is how it will remain until we will take on the structure of the soul, that by bringing about the correction, and then with respect to us, it will be clarified in such a way. And also, how much it will be clarified? Well, it will be clarified only in stages until the final stage, the end of correction, which is a unique state, of course, exists as well. However, regarding it, well, we can't even talk about that. This state is not clarified anywhere, and also what happens above it. He hints a little bit, Baal HaSulam hints a little bit about, or what Rabash writes from his words in the introduction to Pri Chacham. But no more than that, the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th thousand. Is there something there which is relevant, unique? Only if it's truly relevant.
A student from the US is asking whether then the Creator and the corrected soul are one and the same.
No. The corrected soul is the creature, and what he discovers within the corrected soul, his cause, that is the Creator. Yes?
This does not refer to the above-mentioned souls in particular, but according to the rule that we said that the spiritual is indivisible. As soon as one is rewarded with a soul, he is rewarded with the soul of the whole of Israel, though according to one's merit and place. Hence, at a time when one is rewarded with these wonders, one receives into himself the abundance of the soul in that disclosure. Hence, the name of the owner of that disclosure is upon him. And they said, all of Israel are sons of kings. Also, a king that dies, all of Israel are worthy of kingship. This is a great secret. For in all the previous generations, which were but preparation for Malchut, special kelim were required for anointment of their judges, such as the souls of Moshe and Shmuel and so on. But the final purpose depends on the whole of Israel, Since when a tiny part of a tiny spark is missing, the end will not be able to appear. Hence, all of Israel are worthy of kingship, since everyone is equal in this true discernment. For this reason, there is no special kli for drawing that perfection, but anyone who cleanses and purifies his soul to be worthy of extending the revelation of Malchut in the world will literally be called King David. This is the meaning of David, King of Israel, is indeed alive, for he has not died at all. His kli is within each and every soul from Israel. This is not the case with the soul of Moshe, which is found only in the wise disciples in the generation, as well as in prophets and priests.
Well, again, there are types of souls that receive a strong reshimo, meaning with the spark, and they yearn for the purpose of creation, and then they work and discover it. There are the souls that, out of the fact that in them, to start with, there are no sparks, only later they entered through the Hitkalelut incorporation, and also the nations of the world, they connect, and there are those that don't, that only passively, and even though they don't want to be associated, related, even if they stand, they even stand in the way of advancement, each and every one has his own role. Don't think that it's all, you know, that all of these wickeds have no role. They function very well, according to the general plan. So in each and every one, certainly there is a future. The general soul includes all the desires within it. None of them is missing. But regarding the work along the way, there is a difference, as we can see. And the person that relates to all of them, he has to relate to all of them truly equally. There are no greater ones or smaller ones as with respect to the Creator. No such thing. Meaning with respect to honor, annulment and so on. Rather, if it's coming from the Creator, then everything is equal. It's not I who made them great or small, etc. Rather, each one who functions, who does his role, is doing his work. Whether it appears to me as good or bad, but I need to relate to each and every one this way, like to an angel. An angel meaning he's in the hands of the Creator with respect to me, that there is none else besides him, and whatever I see before me, it is all a force operating in the operated one. And accordingly, if I react or respond, then all that I need to do is correct myself with respect to the things that are revealed.
What does it mean that I react?
That I react, I respond to all of them. In how can I use all of these in order to arrange my attitude to them in a way that is equal, relatively, towards the Creator that is operating them. He gave me this world so that I would correct it through my attitude towards them. There is here, in my attitude towards the world, both actions that I need to correct myself with respect to the world, and I need to make the world appear, both with respect to my kelim, in a uniform manner, where so that I and the world can connect together, and then there we discover the Creator. So again, we come to the same problem we have, that we cannot at once put these two pictures together, Does the world have free choice or not? Should I bestow upon the world, change something there or not? Or everything depends on what I am. Each flaw one sees is his own flaw, deciding himself, and then the whole world with a scale of merit, meaning the world has nothing. Rather, it's all, well, there's some theater that is before me, and as I improve or change, this will change as well, or I also need to affect them as well, and or maybe by influencing the world, I change myself, and then the world will change in my eyes. Should I repeat what I said or not? Whether I, by coming out to the world now and disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything there, and I expect them that they would grow up, by that, do I actually change myself? And then, when I see changes in them and that they're growing up, I actually see that in me because I changed. And the world is just a projection of myself. Yes?
So, in fact, what is me, what is the world, and what is the upper one? All in all, I'm the connector, because there is no me. This is a connection of the upper one, and...
If I say that there is no I, then I detach myself of all the changes. That I cannot say. No. The I is there, because... Well, you can say the following. This I has no true reality, but the Creator created this I. He took from himself, from absence became this I, and that point of separation exists until we, while guarding it as separate, we bring it into unity.
The realization of that separation is the influence of the upper light to that world. That is its realization?
Well, okay, so you said it. Yes.
There is an explanation, introduction to the Book of Zohar, item 3, about what you just said. He writes there, Bala Sulam, that is, that although all those changes and examples start from the inspiration of the soul, and this is where they end, anyway, with the desire of the Creator, they seem to him as if it is in themselves. And the Creator does it in order to expand and enlarge the attainment of the souls to the highest sanctity, which is the thought of creation, in order to delight his creatures.
Because in the gap between us and the picture that I depict for myself, this gap I have to fill it up with knowledge. Until the picture would be the same picture, see how much understanding, attainment, scrutiny I have to invest, and by that I increase my kelim. All of the 620 times, well, we say that we attained it. Where from? From the Rosh of the Paltzuf. The desire remains the same desire as the Creator created. But I add to that desire an understanding, a recognition. That's how I increase it. I increase it qualitatively. Then it turns out that I attain, well, instead of what I receive from godliness, I attain godliness itself. Let's continue.
This is the meaning of a king that dies, all of Israel are worthy of kingship. This is also the meaning of exempting the public. This is the meaning of at the time of the Messiah, chutzpah, impudence, will mount, and the child shall behave insolently against the aged and the base against the honorable. This means that even an ignoble child will dare to extend his kingship to the world as though he were one of the elders and the honorable in the generation. Should the ignoble too, one who has a lowly and base soul at its root, aim his heart and purify his deeds to become worthy, he will be rewarded with extending the whole of the soul of a holy nation in his soul, with all the wonders that the holy nation has tasted thus far. This is because they were all but preparations for this wholeness. Hence, Even that particular soul must taste everything, and he will buy his world in an hour, due to the ability of that generation to extend the crown of his kingship, which contains everything. And all need the honor of the needles, and every element in it's required. And every element in it is required.
Let's go to the questions. I mean, he writes it in such a way that, well, as much time as we have left, let's scrutinize these things. Yes.
I heard you just say that the gap between the me and the picture should be filled with knowledge. So where is the emotion in this gap?
Everything that the Creator wants to happen to us is that we will build a mind above the emotion, that we will understand Him, recognize Him, discover Him. Through that, certainly our emotional vessels are also expanded, because the intellect works on the emotion. If I know who I receive from, as he says, then it becomes 620 times greater. I didn't want the candy, even though it may be tasty, but suddenly I feel that I received it from someone who is very great in my eyes. So then I take it, I appreciate it. The taste suddenly is different. It all depends on my appreciation. Everything depends on my appreciation. You'll now be given some, you know, they'll pour to you some, in some ancient bottle of wine, they'll pour some, you know, young, you know, cheap wine, and they'll serve it to you, and they'll say, well, this wine comes from a few hundred years ago, done by a famous winery. You're going to drink it, and you'll say, later we'll say, oh, we're sorry, we gave you some cheap wine from the supermarket. It all depends on your appreciation. And also our tastes. Where do I have these tastes? I love that, I don't love that one. From the appreciation. It's not a habit. What does it mean habit becomes second nature? How come it suddenly becomes tasty? All the time when I tasted it before, it felt differently. When I start appreciating it, when it comes again, I appreciate it. It fills me up. It comes from, you know, we say that it comes from mom's house, you know, these terms. So, and then it becomes tasty. So according to that taste, I later measure the others. Otherwise, there's no taste. It's like a computer. Until you fill it up with software, it's just a piece of metal. This is how a person is born. He has capabilities. Well, a little bit, maybe there's some discernments, genetic ones. But mainly, it's how you fill him up. Meaning you give him a certain order of values. And this is also why we are that way. 620 times is an intellectual appreciation. It's a recognition of, who am I receiving from? Who is the host? Following the example of Bala Sulam with the guest.
When yes. I see in front of me an opposite picture entirely, how do you have an appreciation for it?
What inverted picture do you see?
It's against all my desires.
Well, that's true, because it was given to you in order to correct it.
So how do you appreciate it then?
I appreciate him who gave it to me in a broken way, so that by that I can reach the correction. Rather what? I don't understand. If they won't give to you a broken puzzle, then you won't be able to assemble it. And as you assemble it, you won't be able to discover the mind, to acquire the mind.
What builds such an appreciation in a person?
The fact that you sweat out in order to put the puzzle together, and by coming to the end of the picture, then at the end of the picture you discover what it says there. I love you. But along the way you also acquired a mind and understanding. Who is he who tells you that? And indeed, what is written there? What are these words? What do they symbolize? Yes.
We're an emotional clay. So where does the emotion fit into this process?
No way. It's just intellect. You invest your forces of your desire. These are the sensation. The more you sweat, then each time your vessels expand, you start feeling you're unable to do it by yourself. You start connecting with him. Help me out. Where are you? And so on. He comes. He helps you out a little bit. He's concealed. He helps. He's concealed again. By that, you begin to relate to him. The puzzle is just an excuse.
But it's not pleasant for the desire. It's an unpleasant emotion.
Unpleasant, true, until you give up, yield, and then you feel how good it is. Until you, as long as you are like a rooster, you know, not a rooster in the bed, but a rooster going like this, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, with your pride, certainly it feels unpleasant. But when you start appreciating his relation to you, when you see that actually he's the one that yields in a place where you discover his greatness, the greatness of the Creator, you discover his lowness, then you see that this is great. This humility, there's nothing greater than this. In the ego, it doesn't appear this way. Being humble is a result, an outcome from the impression, from the surrounding lights of the Creator, of the upper degree. It comes from recognition, from awareness. It doesn't come by itself immediately. It's from the recognition that the upper one is the one that governs through love. For us, control, governance is through force, it's through oppression. But here it's the opposite. Here the upper one shows you how much he's actually yielding towards you. And through that you start appreciating him. Well, the opposite things. In all directions, this is how it works out.
In my work with respect to the upper degree, the upper one works to me, or do I work for him in order to be integrated with those surroundings?
It's reciprocal. I'm the first. He awakens, stimulates that he awakens the situation, the new state. He's always the one that awakens the new state. You already are in it. Each time you're in a state that he created, and then you need to, first of all, realize that you are in his world, that he designed that form in which you are, and also see yourself from the side, observe yourself from the side, and the way you react, you respond. I'm able to do something or I'm not. I'm totally without any forces. I get upset. I surrender. How do I respond for the situation I'm in? So first you learn from the existing state, and can I, should I, what does it mean to be in the existing state? And then you search for means, you know, how to transition from one to the other. And then by searching for the means, you start discovering that you can also change the situation only through him. Since he brought you this state and you want to change it, you have to ask him to change it. Now, for him, there is an order of states that he needs to put you through. If you ask to be in the next state by yourself, that you agree with his plan, then you'll discover the next state as a good one and nice one. It's a revelation. It's fulfillment. Because you want it. Now, if you don't ask, then the next state will be revealed as a bad state in your sensation. That's all. Meaning, for him, it's a sequence of states that exists already. Depending on your preparation for the next state, each time, the way you accelerate it and receive it nicely, or you try to put it off and you accept and you receive it as sufferings, and those sufferings that you feel nonetheless teach you. Yes.
So my request determines my feeling throughout the process?
Yes, raising man, as we call it.
That feeling that you do it humbly by nullifying yourself, it makes you parve. You cannot advance that desire to be humble. If you say that the mind is very important, okay, but without scrutinizing, if you come from a place of being humble, you cannot scrutinize anymore because you have no desire. You can develop if you have a strong desire, ego, but if you are working with being humble, like being lukewarm, it's like buying, who's the one who buys this new emotion? Like you are empty or filled with light which is not your own, so.
An annulment is done through a strong mind, an understanding, the recognition of the Upper One through subjugation, meaning a strong work on the desire. And this cancellation by itself can be at the first moment certainly as if a transition to an action of bestowal. From the subjugation you start, subjugation, surrender, means that I now take upon myself a new order of work. And according to the new order of work, I need to connect more with the others. I need to take the desires of the others. I need to connect myself with them. I need to create, stabilize a new kli. There are many broad actions here, and one depends on the other. This depends on that. As when one builds something, that all of these pieces depend on one another. I don't see here that that there's no work, nothing to do.
What does the Creator want? He wants my heart. He wants man's heart, meaning his will to receive. This is what he wants. This is what the Creator wants.
What, does he come to you with a knife and he tells you?
He wants you. He wants the heart of the group.
What does it mean, you? He wants you to be a good boy. Yes, wise and good.
So if I nullify to him, it's not my heart anymore.
You are not with respect to him. What does it mean with respect to him? With respect to the quality of bestowal, you raise it above your ego and continue working with your ego. Who is the Creator? The Creator is the quality of bestowal that you amplify it higher, as greater than your ego. And if so, then now begin to join your ego to bestowal. Let's hope that by tomorrow you'll think about it, you'll come to the action, you'll explain to us tomorrow what it is that you did. Guys, that's it. So you have homework.
So we have announcements before we end. Kabbalah Experience in Ashdod today, Tuesday, 7 p.m. We'll have our weekly meeting with Rav Lightman in Ashdod. There will be a lecture about the new family. What are the reasons for the raising violence among teenagers in Israel? And how we can change, correct, and rebuild families and better communities. We invite you to send us your questions to tv@kab.co.il. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day.
Had said, I wonder if we could unite humanity into a single man with one heart and one body. I'll cover him with love. It's the only thing we must learn. because we came from one point into this point we will return. Spiritual warriors racing towards.